Well, last week we started a series, and the series we started was called Jesus and We. So what that means in the context of where we are as a community of faith, it means that we are not just about Jesus and me, it's about Jesus and we, and how we function together as a community of faith, and how we can move forward together on our spiritual journeys, and become people that are truly following after God and are inspired by His power in our lives at work and the movement of God on a day-to-day basis. So this morning, I am going to bring a challenging message. I believe it's challenging. And I want you to think and process what I'm about to say and the passages I'm about to read. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen.
Amen.
The sermon title today is Spiritual Contributors. And I wonder if you are a spiritual contributor. And there is something that's the opposite of a contributor, and that is a consumer. And what is super unfortunate in our North American culture is we have a consumeristic mentality. And what I mean by that is that it's about what I can get, or what's satisfying me, or what pleasures me, and it's what I need, what I want, and all that comes together, and if it doesn't fit what I want or need, then I'm going to move on. So, are we a consumer or a contributor in the community of faith? Jesus was walking through Samaria, and most Jewish people would walk around Samaria. You see, he connected two places where there was predominantly Jewish populated. And Jesus was traveling down, and he decided instead of going around Samaria, he went right through Samaria. And they were tired, and it was about noon. And he decided to sit down near a well. And as he sat near the well, his disciples moved on and went down to town to go get some food because they were hungry. And as Jesus is sitting there, a woman comes up. And if you don't know this, in that particular culture, people would go and draw water from the well early in the morning. Why?
Because it was hot.
Because it was super hot, right? The climate is very, very hot, and the heat is overwhelming as you walk during the day. So the women would go, and they would go down to the well, and they would get the water from the well. And this particular day, Jesus sat near the well at noon. This woman comes down to the well. And she's going to go draw the water from the well. And before she does, Jesus starts talking to her. And if you don't know this, in that culture, Jewish men would not talk to a woman that is without her husband. Now, on top of that, this is a Jewish woman that doesn't have a husband with her, and she's a Samaritan woman. So Jews would typically flee from Samaritans and wouldn't go near Samaritans. It sounds awful, right? It was actually a racist thing, okay? They were discriminating against the Samaritans because the Samaritans were only half Jewish. It doesn't sound right. But you know what Jesus does? He talks to her. He starts speaking with her and communicating with her. And as he communicates with her, he says, yeah, you're going to get some water, huh? Do you never want to thirst again? Because guess what? He's the living water. And she didn't really understand all this when he was talking about it, but he talks with her and speaks with her. And she is so moved because Jesus starts telling her things about her life that nobody would know, and sharing things about her, personal things. And she looks him dead in the eye and goes, surely you are the Christ, right? And you know what she does? She becomes the first evangelist. She runs back into the village and she says, "You've got to come see this. Surely this one is the Messiah. He is the one that is supposed to come. And he told me things that nobody knew. And I learned about these. He showed me who I am, and I know who I am now. You've got to come see this guy." And this woman didn't have much credibility in her village because she had multiple husbands, and she was currently living with a guy. So people were not too fond of her in the place she lived, but they listened, and they eventually came. But before they came, Jesus is still sitting there, and the apostles come, and they see him talking to a woman. And this is what they do. Meanwhile, his disciples, this is John 4:31-34, in case you're wondering. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is not to do the will of him." "It is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "So my food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So it's to do the will of him who sent him and to finish his work. So Jesus is saying, "Listen, I have food that you know nothing about." And I wonder this morning if we know about this food that Jesus is talking about. It's a food that is the will of the Father. And it's something that we should crave and desire more than the physical food that sits right in front of us. This is the real spiritual food. This is the stuff that matters. This is the stuff that lets us grow. You know how food and drink allow us to grow healthier and stronger? Well, spiritual food, we need the spiritual food, and the spiritual food is the will of the Father, right? So we need to submit to the will of the Father and what he desires for our lives. And Jesus himself, it is to do the will of the Father. And that's what he desired. And that's what we need to desire. So to do the will of the Father who sent me, and to finish his work. What if we lived like that? You see, this food, this spiritual food, is so critical and so essential to our development and our faith. Because when we start to submit ourselves to God's will, what happens is we open ourselves up and make ourselves vulnerable. And as we become more and more vulnerable, we enable the Spirit to move in our lives. And when the Spirit begins to move in our lives, we begin to move forward in the will of God. So I've heard people say, I just want to be right in the center of God's will. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I've heard people passionately say that. I want to tell you straight up, you may throw something at me when I say this. You may never know if you're right in the center of God's will. But you can know that you're in God's will. Because to be in the center of God's will, it's hard to determine, right? As a human, because we have our frailties. We have our sin nature that hinder us from understanding fully God's will, right? But God desires us to follow after him and to pursue him. And when we are doing that consistently in our life, there are times that we may divert from the path. And maybe you're somebody that has diverted from the path, and you're going down a path contrary to God. Well, God's trying to pull you back in. Hey, where are you going, buddy? Where are you going, pal? Come on. Have you ever had somebody come alongside you and grab you by the shoulder and say, "What's going on with you?" And you're like, "Nothing. What's going on with you?" Yeah. But they're saying, "Hey, wake up. You can't be going the way you're going." And each of us has either been the person or have known people in our life that have had to be spoken to in order to go in a different direction. And you know what? As humans, we have choices to either listen to that, because God can use people to speak to us. Do you hear that? And we've got to be in tune and open to what God says. And if we are, then what happens is we can understand God's will more and more every day in our life. So there's this first thing I want to share, and it's this. We are not spiritual consumers. Did you hear that? We are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Now, in around the 300s AD, this guy named Constantine came. And prior to Constantine, there was no, let's go to church. It was always, we are the church. This is just a building. We are the church. It's very important to know that. That we don't go to church. We go connect in church. But we don't go to the church. And it's okay if you say that. But I personally say, we're going to go to the church building today. Because that's what it's a church building. It's the community of faith in the building. Okay? We can meet anywhere, right? In the early church, they did not have a building specifically for the church. And I think that us being able to have that is very convenient, but it's also it can also be a curse in some ways. Because you know what often happens? All the monies go into the maintenance of the building. We need to be about going out and connecting people to God. Did you know some of our hearts don't even think about connecting others to God? That doesn't disturb anybody? Some of us have never even thought about talking about Jesus with other human beings. We just go through our day and we pretend we're believers, but we never share. Some of us sitting here have never shared Christ with anybody. Others of us have such a burden for that we talk about God and we connect people with God in some really unique ways. There are so many different ways that we can talk about God to people. And people are open to it, even if they seem like they're totally turned off. One of the most fascinating things, I think, is when you ask somebody, so what do you believe? Have you ever done that with anybody? Have you ever asked somebody, what do you believe? And you just sit and listen. I have gotten so many different responses. And over the years, it has enabled such beautiful dialogue. Because I've listened and then spoken. Because when people know you care, they're going to listen to you. If you don't think somebody cares about you, you're going to shut down, right? So do we get this here? We are not spiritual consumers. You got that? There was this commercial years ago. A Big Mac, fillet of fish, quarter pound of french fries, ice and coke, hot shake, sundae, and apple pie, right? Big Mac, fillet of fish, all that stuff. And then, you know, that was a slogan. That's where you get me. Go in to where? What's that place?
McDonald's.
You guys need to know that. Yeah. Some of the other people are like, what are you talking about? And why are you singing that weird song? So that song, like, was huge. And people were like, wow, I got to go there and I got to get that. And yeah, this will be great. And that's what I'll get when I go. I know what I'm going to get when I go. And I'll get the same thing every time. Well, in 1973, there was this revolution that happened in the fast food industry. You know what it was? Burger King. You know what they said? Have it your way. Oh. So you knew you could go into McDonald's and have two pickles, lettuce, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Right? But, yes, special sauce, lettuce, cheese on a sesame seed bun, right? But when you go to Burger King, you can have it your way. So whose way can you have it?
Your way.
You can have it your way.
I was a consumer.
So you can have it your way, right? It's all about your way, and whatever it is, it's going to be your way. So you can go in there and say, I don't want pickles, I don't want mustard, I don't want ketchup. I just want the burger, I just want the meat, man. Just give me the two patties on a sesame seed bun. That's all I want. Okay, absolutely. Here you go. Boom. And here it is. You got it. And that's our become our mentality in the church.
Busted.
That's become our mentality. What can I get? And then we start, church shopping. I've heard people say that. Well, I've been shopping around for churches. And if someone says that to me, if I don't know them that well, I might be a little tender with them and I won't say much, but I often say, well, what'd you find? And then I'll say this. And then I'll say, is it really about you? Is it? You understand where I'm going with that? Is it about you? Because we make it about us. No. Any church in the world, you can sit there and stand there and you can minister and you can serve in any church you go to. Do you hear me? It doesn't have to be here. Maybe God has called you here to South China Community Church, which I am happy and blessed to have you part of our community of faith. Some of you. No, really. I mean, it is a blessing. And it is a beautiful thing to be able to have a community of faith where we don't always necessarily agree, but we can function in unity. Amen?
Amen.
We can function in unity despite differences of opinions. And that's what unity is. Unity isn't always agreeing on everything. It is being able to move forward unified in the Spirit. So we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors. And being a spiritual contributor means we are going to impact the community of faith we are in and the community outside the community of faith. So the church does not exist for us. Did you hear that? It doesn't exist for us. What does it say? Let's read this last part together. We are the church, and we exist for the world. It is about connecting in community, building each other up, but going out and impacting the world. We become so internally focused that we forget that there's people outside that don't know who God is. It is vitally important to connect with people that don't know who God is. And to do that on a regular basis. So if we have a scale, consumer down this end, and contributor down this end. Consumer is 1. Contributor is 10. What are you circling? What do you circle on that scale? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What are you going to circle there?
Another one.
So you're Jesus?
Just,
hi, Jesus.
Just circle the contributor.
Right? A contributor. On the end, if you circle 10, that's like Jesus is pretty much 10. He contributed everything, right? Some of these martyrs, they contributed everything, right? They gave their life. Hallelujah.
Yeah, what James was saying is that it's the number 10 is where
that's the goal, right?
That's
the goal. That's what our goal should be. But I want to say this. If you would circle like a 1 or 2, you would be somebody that just comes on Sunday, doesn't tithe, doesn't contribute serving in any way. You just come and sit, and then you leave. Okay, that's like maybe a 1 or 2. If you're an 8 or a 9, like anytime we're doing something, like going on prayer walks, or whatever it may be, we're getting together and meeting and praying together, or we have Bible studies, you're always here, you're always connected, you're always communicating, you're serving, you're doing hospitality time, you're doing all that, and you serve on worship, whatever you do, all the things that you do, and you just keep serving. And it's not about rating ourselves, but it is in some ways, because we need to evaluate ourselves, right? When we have trouble with our heating system in our home, do we just say, that thing will turn on again someday? You don't do that, right? No. We're like, well, we've got to figure out what's wrong with this thing and try to fix it. And we need to do that with ourselves, too. We need to figure out what's going on with ourselves and allow God to do some work and tinker and fix what's going on with us. In order for us to get away from the consumer mentality and fall into the contributor mentality. Because there are far few people that contribute to the community of faith. Did you know that? There are far few people that contribute to the community of faith. Unfortunately, a lot of people are consumers. Imagine if every one of us was a contributor. What would that look like? What would happen here? Like, what would happen to us?
We'd blow up the building.
That sounds like a bad thing. No. You mean it will grow. Like, we'll see people coming to faith. We'll see, like, God doing some amazing things, right? So we need to move away from the consumer mentality and fall into and move forward in the contributor. So how can I contribute to the community of faith? How can I move forward when I'm a 2 right now, but I want to be moving toward that 10? How can I do that? What does that look like? Well, we need to move toward that. And maybe you need to talk to myself or some of the leadership here and say, I want to contribute. How can I contribute? Oh, we'll help you. We will. We can help you figure out how you can contribute to the community of faith. There are all sorts of ways we can contribute. There's some beautiful things that can happen in our lives when we start contributing and serving others. Your gifts for God's church. So here's some gifts for God's church. And these are your gifts for God's church. God calls you to serve in His church. Did you hear that?
Yes.
God calls you to serve in His church. And as we get into this passage in Romans 12, 6 through 8, I think we're going to share about 7 spiritual gifts. And if you've never done a spiritual gifts inventory, we did it a while back, a Uniquely You and personality profile. That was huge. A huge help for many of you and enabled you to figure out where you connect in the community of faith and how you can minister. Well, God calls you to serve in His church. And as He does, it says this in Romans 12, 6 through 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak up with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership, ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Amen.
So there's all these different gifts. And God, we can probably list about a total of maybe 16, some people even say more, of spiritual gifts that we can utilize. And I'm going to say straight up, if you don't have the gift, another translation would say mercy or showing kindness, does it mean you don't show mercy or kindness? No, I don't have that gift. I'm excluded from that. I don't have that gift at all, so I can be a jerk. No, that's not the case at all. If you don't have the gift of teaching, do you think you're excluded from teaching? It may mean you're not going to teach in the community of faith as a whole, but at the same time, you are going to teach. All right? Now, if you have the gift of leadership, you should be leading. And some of you may say, well, what's that even look like? If you turn around, there's going to be people following you, right?
Yeah.
In your life, if you look at your life, you've always been someone that people follow. That's what a leader is. And there are people that think they're leaders, but nobody wants to follow them. You ever meet someone like that? I'm a leader! Come with me. What? No way. I'm not going with you, man. What are you doing? Right? So, how do you know you're a leader? You can look over your shoulder. Some people will be following you, right? prophecy. If you've ever met someone with the gift of prophecy, sometimes they're not the most fun to be around. You know why that is the case? Because a prophet speaks their heart and mind, right? And some people use that as an excuse. Oh, I have the gift of prophecy, so I can say, you look really bad in that outfit. That's not what prophecy is, right? Prophecy is speaking God's truth boldly and being able to speak it to impart truth to a people group or to an individual. I could go through all of these different gifts, but I think you can read them. The other one I do want to touch on, though, is encouraging. I'm going to touch on another one after this. But encouraging is when someone is encouraging you and inspiring you and challenging you, saying, you know, walks up to you and says, you know, you've really been a blessing in my life. Has anyone ever said that to you? That's impactful, right? Or someone says, you know what I see in you? I see potential in you. If you were ever a small child and someone came up to you and said, I see potential in you, it could have been a family member, a friend, a coach, a teacher, and nobody saw potential in you, but someone said, I see potential in you. That does something to you, doesn't it? That's encouraging, inspiring. It makes you want to be something more than you are now. Well, guess what? God sees something in you. I see something in you. Even if I don't know you incredibly well, I can see what God can do in your life. God can use each and every one of us in some significant ways. There is another gift that's not on this list that people often say, I don't have that gift. I don't have that gift. I can't do it. You know what it is? Evangelism. I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I can't do it. I want to say this. And you may not know what evangelism is. It means you share your faith with others and you introduce people to Christ. Well, I want to encourage you with this. That I used to be scared to death to talk to people about faith matters. I'm serious. I used to be scared to death to speak in front of people.
Okay, guess what?
All right? So, if God can use me, He can definitely use you. So don't ever be afraid to do what God calls you out to do and use the gifts that He has for you and honor Him with that. The second thing, this is the final thing. God calls you to serve as His church. So the first one is God calls you to serve in His church, but God calls you to serve as His church. You get that? You get the difference there? So He's calling us to serve as His church. And as His church, what are we as a community doing to impact the community around us and the world as a whole? And some of us may say, well, we're giving to missions. We give at least 10% of what comes into missions, and we reach out to the world that way. Well, is that enough? Is it enough to just say, that's what we do? I would say absolutely not. Nope. What are we doing in our day-to-day life? What are we doing as a community of faith together to impact this region? Have we really impacted this region? I would say not really. We haven't done what God has laid on my heart to do in this region, and I pray that you realize that we haven't done what God has laid on your heart either. And some of us are satisfied with the status quo, and some of us are satisfied with the way it's always been. I want to tell you this. If you're satisfied with the way it's always been, wake up to the reality of God. Because He's not satisfied with the way it's always been. That's why in the Scriptures, over and over and over again, He talks about transformation. He talks about redeeming and redemption and change. So the way it's always been is not the way it always should be. God calls you to serve as His church. In Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. And right before this, it talks about being salt. And what that means, don't lose your saltiness. Salt brought flavor and it preserved. But it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In a Jewish home, they would typically have a small lamp. And it wasn't, didn't put off tons of light. But the way it lit up the house, and the houses weren't like what we have, with all these different bedrooms and things, but they would put this lamp on its little stool, or whatever they could make to put it on, and it would shine through the house, and they'd be able to see. And if they put it under a bowl, they couldn't see anymore, right? So we are not to put our light under a bowl and hide it. We're to put it on the stand and let it shine for the world to see. And light up the world. Light up this world in such a way that people have no doubt, no question, that our house is illuminated with God's light. That our life is illuminated with God's light. That we can't help but let the light shine out of us. Right? In our Bible study on Wednesday, we talked about how Moses went before God, and when he came down from meeting with God, he had such a glow about him that he had to put a veil over his face in order to talk to the people. Then he would go back and talk with God, and the glow would appear again, so he had to put the veil over to talk to the people again. I wonder if that glow happens when we connect with people outside of this these walls here. I wonder if people see the glow and go, wow, what is going on with that person? That's one strange individual. But they're interested. And I kind of want to get to know them a little more. Maybe people have called you strange, but they've called you strange because you are strange. But I want to say, we are called out to be weird for God.
Yes.
We are called out to be strange, odd, strange. Okay? Weird. If you don't want to be weird, you probably don't want to be a follower of Christ. Because if you're a follower of Christ, typically you do things contrary to what all your friends are doing. And you do things in a way in which is humble, a way in which isn't boisterous or boastful. And it isn't all about you. You are the light of the world. Do we take that serious? When it says you are the light of the world, do we believe it? Now it says, toward the last part of that passage, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not by works that we are saved, but it is by these deeds that we can't help do. Because Christ is in us, because that light shines in us, we can't help but do good deeds. It's this natural overflow. It's kind of like when you work out real hard, you sweat a lot. I read an article about a player for Baylor University. He's a huge man. He's 6'8", 250 pounds. And he plays basketball. It's not football. And all the football coaches want him to play on the team, and the scouts go to his basketball game and say, he'd be a good linebacker, and he doesn't want him. He wants to be known as a basketball player. But people are seeing that he could be a football player. And the reason I mentioned the article is because in the article, it said that the coach assigned one of the equipment managers to follow him around and wipe all of his sweat off the floor. Because he sweats so bad. Because he works just so much harder than other people that he sweats just a ton. And we want our light to flow like that. We want our light to just flow right out of us. So that people will be like, let's follow that light over there. Let's follow. That's some great light over there. There's all sorts of messed up stuff going on all around me, but I see light coming from that person. I'd like to follow after that and see what that's about. I hope that some people notice that in you. I hope that you're not putting a bowl over yourself and hiding who you really are. And I also hope that you're not pretending to be light when you're actually living in darkness. Uh-oh. That's hard to hear, right? But when we are light, may it shine before the world for all to see. Amen?
Amen.
Last thing. A lighthouse. If you've ever gone sailing, if you've ever been a fisherman, if you've ever been at sea, and your equipment died on your boat, and you had to figure out how to get to shore, what do you look for?
A lighthouse.
Yeah? Right, Josh? Right, Mark? Got some fishermen on here. Some are fishing today. So, you look for that lighthouse. What does that lighthouse do?
Shine.
Mark, what does the lighthouse do?
Shine.
And why? So it shines bright, and it shows you the way, gives you direction, protects you from hitting rocks. Right? Crashing on the shore. Some of us have crashed on the shore, and we need God to show up, and that light shines so bright that it illuminates all the junk so we can go through it and act through it. Amen?
Amen.
So, as we conclude right now, I want you to reflect on your life. I want you to think, you know, where do I fall on the 1 to 10 scale? Am I a consumer or am I a contributor? And ask yourself this question. Do I really want to be a contributor? Because that means sacrifice. And I wonder what that contribution would be for you. Let's close with prayer. God, I ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to you. Father, that we would not be satisfied with our consumeristic mentality, that everything that happens at the church has to happen because we want it to happen the way we want it to happen. God, may things change in my life, in our life, so we can truly discontinue being consumers and truly be contributors. Lord, may we honor you with the way we live our lives. May we be in tune to what you have for us. God, may we shine with such a bright light that people will notice that we are following the way, the truth, and the life. That you are the light of our life. And that our hearts are open to you. And what we need to do is submit to you and surrender to you, God. And Father, it is hard for us at times. And Lord, I ask that this very morning that we would be open to your will. Just as Jesus is open to your will. God, allow us to discover you as we move forward in our faith. Lord, we're not perfect, but we are searching and seeking after the perfect God. And as we do, I ask, Lord, that you would move powerfully among us, and your Spirit would fill us to overflow in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.